But today, I think it's appropriate that the title of my message is To Live is Christ. To live is Christ. You know, when we're born, we look pretty similar to most other babies. Now, some of you mothers probably disagree with me there. Oh, no, no, you can tell. They look, you know, you can see everything straight away. I've been to a number of births of my own children. I didn't recognize anything. I'm pretty sure my face wasn't bloody. But as we mature, we begin to exhibit the characteristics of our parents. My children, sadly enough for them, look more and more like me as they get older, much to my delight. So I remind them what they have to look forward to. But our very natures are shaped by the unique and particular DNA we've inherited from our parents. In my case, my birth father, I didn't know him for a long, long time. So there were a lot of traits and characteristics about me that I was not really sure where they'd come from. But when I reconnected with my birth family and I began to look at my siblings, I suddenly saw these things in them that I saw in myself. And they suddenly had meaning, or they suddenly had a uniqueness about them. There was a uniqueness about them when I found other people with them. Does that make sense? I was like, oh, this is actually a unique trait that comes from being genetically connected. We may not have seen each other for a long time, but we've actually carried this connection with us. Now, while it's true we might experience some pretty life-changing or life-altering circumstances or events that occur outside of our nature, it's how we respond to those external events we see based on maybe our inherited characteristics or tendencies. Another thing that happens as we mature is that the very parents who gave us our nature find their lives drawing to a close. It's inevitable. Everybody dies. One of the last things that's done in most families is a preparation for death, a preparation for that transition, a preparation for what happens after death, not only for what happens to us when we go beyond death, but also what happens to those who are left behind and must live on beyond that death. Often that preparation includes what the person dying wants to happen to their estate or to their situation or their pets or whatever. And so there is a talk or discussion around inheritance for those that will remain. And often for parents, there is a sense of responsibility to leave a particular kind of inheritance for children. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's a house or business, sometimes it's something small and meaningful, like a favorite photograph, or animals maybe, that you want cared for after they're gone. Sometimes, however, there's not much positive a parent can leave for their children. Perhaps it's debt. Perhaps it's unresolved conflict, unresolved abuse, confusion, or just an emptiness and nothing at all. This morning, I want us to look at what we gain as born-again believers, both in our nature and our future inheritance. So will you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6. Sorry, the microphone keeps dropping down and I get quieter and quieter, so I'll try and keep it up here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. It's not a kind of like mindset. The same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage or something to be held on to. Being of the same mindset. And then let's look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. I'm going to read through to verse 29. Verse 26. So in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. As the Son of God, Christ is the very nature of God. Those that receive Christ receive his nature and become, not just symbolically but in reality, children of God, having the nature of God, being given the nature of God. What does that mean? Well, like I mentioned before, in my own children, they are like me. They're also like Sarah, which is probably a better idea. Maybe there are things that are individually different about them, but they carry a number of my characteristics. It's very much the same as the church. There's a lot of very unique individuals, particularly in this church. But we all carry characteristics of the nature of God. There are things about us that reflect on and reveal God. This is how it is with Christ. While we retain what is uniquely us, we begin to take on the characteristics of him in whom we found new birth. You see, in John 3, Jesus speaks to Nicodemus about a new birth, and Nicodemus is confused. But Jesus explains the need for a spiritual new birth, a birth of deeper significance than just a genetic combination. To have the nature of Christ requires being born of the nature of Christ, a spiritual birth. Just like my birth father is a significant person in my life because there are natural genetic things that I inherited from him that could only have come from him. So what are these new characteristics that are sown into us when we become a new man through this new birth? They're the characteristics of Jesus. It's pretty simple. This morning is not about outlining all of the characteristics of Christ, but you might start in looking at the Beatitudes in Matthew or the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. That itemized list, those things that are stated there, are what we inherit in the nature and characteristics of Christ. And when we read about Christ, we see demonstrated those characteristics. But what I really want to focus on today is that the characteristics of Christ will begin to show themselves as we journey through life. In Christ, growing more and more like him. Isn't that the purpose of this church? That we might grow together as a family, becoming more and more like Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, we talk about this and the idea that until we all reach unity in the faith, that's what it's saying here, and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So we've established here that being born again in Christ deposits in us characteristics that will inevitably grow, develop, become more prominent, etc., as we continue in our faith. I wish more of you would do this, come up and cheer me on. That would be awesome. So that we become more so that these things inevitably grow, develop, and become more prominent as we continue in our faith. Or as it says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Isn't that exciting and encouraging? Or in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. We're a new creature. Actually, more than that, we're a new type of creature that will ultimately become so Christ-like that God himself will welcome us into heaven as his children. So Christ, having given us the inheritance of our nature, must then prepare for the passing away of the old. For the ending of life as we know it now, what then is our inheritance? Will you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. That's a pretty good excuse for not telling us anything, isn't it? No. Well, you haven't seen it, you don't know what it is, you can't possibly even imagine it. It's not meant to deny us knowing how great God's love is, but merely identifying that we can't contain and understand and handle what it is God has prepared for us, the kind of inheritance that has been prepared for us. You know, I see, I've talked to some people who've gone through the process of, say, a distant relative passing on they didn't know very well. And they thought of that person a certain way all through their life, and then after they had gone, what was left astonished everybody. I think in this case, God is, in everything he's telling us, understating how awesome and amazing what he has for us is. No eye has seen. It's something so wonderful our imaginations would struggle to comprehend it. But there is one clear inheritance that we all should know about, and that's eternal life. Christ's victory over death was complete and final. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, it says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? In verse 56 to 57, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So here is the first item on the will being read out for us that Jesus left us. Victory over death and eternal life. That's what he gives us. That's what he says. That can be yours because I have gone before you, because I have paved the way through death to the other side. What I have done is made a way for you. And that way is impossible for you to take on your own. So you have my access to get through it. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, which most of us should know, I've seen it tattooed on footballers' arms or written in black marker on their face or something. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, or God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, the second item on that list of the inheritance that we are to receive is an eternal home. It's not just eternal life, but an eternal home. And it's not just any home, but an extravagant home. A dwelling with the very presence of God. A complete and whole home. Jesus speaks in John 14 about preparing a place for us. But what kind of place is it? Let's turn to Revelation 21, shall we? This is the kind of place that we can expect, except it's beyond this because we can't even comprehend its magnitude or its magnificence. Revelation 21 and verse 1 says this, "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away.'" Isn't that incredible? That awaits us all. That experience of living with God in his presence, in his glorious presence, not separated from him, not cast away from him, not turned away from God himself, whose face shines upon us for eternity in love and acceptance. And so, we see there are two types of inheritance we're entitled to in Christ. We've already inherited the seed of the character of Christ, which grows and becomes obvious as we mature in our faith. I marvel today at the man I am compared to the man I was. I'm astonished at the transformation that's taken place, often without me noticing, and so it seems sometimes in the middle of the night. I wake up in the morning and I suddenly realize, hang on a minute, I'm responding differently to something I've gone round and round about for years, and suddenly I have a different response and a different outcome and a change in direction, and I realize it's the transforming power of God. It's not my work, it's not my attitude change. I just need to change my attitude. If you just change your attitude, you'll make it all work. No, you won't. We miss something when we talk to people about changing themselves. You just fix up that bit. Being born again gives us totally new and amazing characteristics. And as you follow Christ, those characteristics just naturally grow. It's a bit like, I can't make my lips any smaller. When I was at school, I remember one time I tried to walk around like kind of getting half my lip over my tooth so that my lips would be a bit smaller. I can't do that. This is a physical characteristic. Maybe if I was a woman, I could do something about it. Although my wife would probably swap with me if she could. But there are physical characteristics, and as you get older, they're just going to appear. If you start out with red hair, it's highly likely you'll end up with red hair. Unless you're a woman. Then it can be any color you want. But there are natural characteristics about us. Sometimes, you know, you can't get taller by worrying about it. It's part of your genetic makeup. Although there are all sorts of ads that fly around trying to tempt you and entice you into spending money because they tell you they can change something you can't change. But as we work out our life in Christ, those characteristics will become more and more evident. I mean, just look at Dr. K. She's almost perfect now. Although I do think she's a bit mischievous, because I think she's playing up so that she doesn't have to be finished. I think she gets up to mischief so she doesn't have to be finished and she can hang around a bit longer. That's probably how I'm going to go too. We've inherited those seeds, that genetic change, that genetic birthing has happened, that spiritual birthing has happened. And yet we have not inherited our eternal reward yet. The perfection of our character and the eternal dwelling with God and His kingdom. Now I'm going to take a scripture slightly out of context. I'm pre-warning you before I get flamed later on. I'm going to take it slightly out of context, but I actually think it ties beautifully with our exploration of the inheritance we have in Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:20 and 21. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have a sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. My body contains the legacy of Christ's work. My body expresses it. My heart, being filled with a new spiritual DNA, flows out into the actions of my body. And beyond that, into my influence in the community. And so as a church, as this bride of Christ, this new character of us begins to express itself in the community. And I hope that we are courageous and expressing this new DNA of ours, that others might see and know the nature of God.